have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
The Orange Crusher got a low! It's the Frank Williams Show!
First, I need the national championship.
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Matty here, alongside Johnny again. We're running it back again. Johnny, they seem to give us the blowout games here. You and I get to kind of tag team these blowout victories. So a lot of fun. Game's not actually final yet. We are starting the recording a little earlier this evening. We're not complaining about the late tip. That's not us complaining about it. It's 92-57 with 3:31 left. So we'll figure we'll get an early start on the recording here. But John, I'm excited to do a little duos with you again here this evening, buddy.
Yeah, the Illini 8-man rotation is finally back, but we're missing two guys. So we figured we would carry the load. And I'd much rather have the full Illini roster back in flow, which we saw tonight. And that was so much fun. This team is just like an offensive engine. They're so good when they have like every piece flowing. I feel like we finally realized, okay, this is what it looks like when you've got Kylan back. This is what it looks like when you've got a healthy Andre and Brad can just push the right buttons. This is, you obliterated a team that's about to be in the tournament on the road.
Yeah, the announcer was like, and you know, USC would have been a lock for the tournament had they won. And it's like, okay, buddy, had is the subjective the word here. You're down, you know, 40 points here. Obviously, I know it's easy to say, oh, here comes Mihailo with 3.5 minutes left in the game. Here we go. As, you know, one of my complaints was going to be that Brad refuses to take his starters out. I understand the metrics are the metrics Brandon coming into. But again, Andre took that fall like 2 minutes ago, and I definitely cringed a little bit seeing that again. Again, when you're winning by 40-plus, of course you're going to say everything went right, but I felt like this was exactly a microcosm of what Illinois has done all year. You out-three-point shoot them. You out-height and rebound them. You out-hustle them. I mean, your Kylan Boswells of the world are rising up over USC guys and dunking the ball at halftime. Like, this was just Illinois' offense in a microcosm here tonight, just on steroids.
Yeah, I mean, what, you had seven guys in double figures. Jake Davis, what did he have? 12 points on four threes. Yeah. Like, just insane. And you have Zvonimir Ivšić just like blocking the ball out of nowhere. Just a quiet like 10 points from Tommy on six shots. Like, just everyone was working and flowing today. And yes, you're not going to shoot 45% from three in every game, but there are so many just things to take away from this game that you feel like five out of the eight guys are going to be playing well, and Brad can play five out of those eight guys, and we can probably win a lot of games. This was a quad one game, you know. You only play 10 of those, or okay, maybe more like 15 of those a year. And not only was it a quad one game, it was a 30 plus point victory.
You're up 44 right now. You know, SC's going to the line here.
34.
Goodness. Wait. Way to make me look good here, Johnny. that's tough. That's a tough look by me. Yes, 34, 44, whatever. It's late. Again, we are not complaining about the tip times. We would never be like a certain coach on the West Coast. We would never complain about an opposing team student section. We would never complain about tip times. That would not be us at all. Consummate fans.
Yeah, we would never complain about that because I'm happy that it's 7 o'clock in LA right now. And, you know, those fans, those Illini fans get to enjoy it. It seemed like there were maybe more Illini fans at that stadium than USC fans, which was pretty wild. It just a lot of empty seats based on some videos.
Ooh,
but
the SWAT, the loudest, dunk it, Brandon, dunk it or lay it up. The loudest cheer of the night I heard was when USC missed a second free throw for the We got a road nuggets. I don't know if like, do you get like free In-N-Out fries or something? But yeah, I didn't know. Obviously, Illinois fans travel well. I didn't know the second largest conglomeration of alumni was in Silicon Valley. Good for us. I guess I should have known that. Didn't know that right there. So I guess if you're a California alumni, like you're gonna come out to tonight and maybe even Saturday night as well against UCLA and kind of get yourself a little 2-for-1 action.
A lot of interesting facts on the broadcast tonight. It kind of reminded me of a baseball game broadcast
Yes.
where they just had to fill the time.
I
So we
took
had
the
a
same note.
full,
I took notes. Johnny, I literally wrote down like when we're in blowout mode of like, you know, we're in blowout mode when they're playing the hits of they do the 10 minutes about, you know, the difference between Andre and Peja. They did the Keaton was under recruited, you
Yes,
know,
getting under-recruited draft stock
one
all the
other
way
high major
through.
offer. It did absolutely sound like that they had to fill airtime tonight. That is an awesome observation. Yep, when you've just got 500 hours of airtime over 162 game season, you just start talking about whatever. But yeah, I mean, so these announcers, obviously it was like a different announcer game. Like these are the like Pac-12 Big Ten announcers, right? Where they are probably like the West Coast crew. They'll do kind of like the Oregon and the Washington and the USC, you know, Big Ten games in the area. I can't recall Illinois having Guy and Don on the call.
Yeah, I feel like we maybe had Guy last year for a Washington game or an Oregon game, something like that, but they're not the regular crew for us, that's for sure.
No,
So
no.
they were unfamiliar, but as Sam was kind of pointing out to us in the text, like they just were gushing over Illinois in the first half, being like, this is just the number one offense in the country. Like, look at how efficient this team is, yada yada yada. It was great to hear from almost like an unbiased observer who they're more of like West Coast guys to just be so impressed by our team. And it was very fun
Yeah.
to just see those guys like really glaze over the fellas
Great
there.
use of the word glaze, Johnny. As Mihailo's coming in for the layup. Nice deuce there. 99 to 62. Let's crack a triple digits. Let's get a 10x, 6x here. Yeah, Guy and Don have probably watched a lot of like, you know, USC, which again, you know, tournament team, UCLA tournament team, but they've also probably watched a lot of like Oregon this year and Washington, who obviously have been struggled. So this was probably a treat for them to watch a really, really damn good Illinois team come into USC and absolutely throttle them tonight.
And we should acknowledge that USC didn't have their best player, Chad Baker-Mazzara.
Yes. Arenas was like sick and kind of hurt as well.
Exactly. Although he was a guy where I wanted him to play tonight
Yes.
because it's kind of the exact profile of a player who's going to struggle against Illinois. He's like kind of an inefficient shooter who takes some like mid-range long twos and like not a great 3-point percentage shooter. Like, okay, that works against some teams, but doing that against the most efficient offense in the country, like that's not going to work for you.
No, it's not at all. It's
But
go
it
ahead.
did look painful for him as he was like sick and
Come on, we need one more bucket. All right, we got one more possession here. This is our last shot at getting 100 points. Mihailo up to Dismantemir for the 101. There we go, the exclamation point. That was my demo reel there for a play-by-play. If you're looking for a play-by-play guy, that is my that's my only oh, as the putback dunk there by USC. 101 to 65, it looks like it's gonna be our final here.
It's funny, Maddie, you're like a full, I don't know, minute ahead of me.
Oh,
So I
really?
am getting the radio play-by-play from you right now. So
Okay.
this is okay.
Mihailo has just put the ball on the ground. That is interesting. And then AJ's picked it up. You're gonna like these last 16 seconds, Johnny. You're gonna like them a lot. A lot of really interesting X's and O's there. What I was saying as the clock, as you'll watch the clock tick down there, as I know most people listening are probably a lot older than us, but it feels like a I'm old moment with Arenas, with an Arenas out there. Like when we were youngsters, he was playing ball for the Washington Wizards, and Obviously, was in the news for some stuff back in the day. So it's a real I'm old moment to watch that.
Definitely. Yeah. And it was funny that he and Peja were both three-time All-Stars, because I have a little bit of a different recollection of Gilbert than Peja. I think we were maybe a little bit like Gilbert played a little bit better when we were more of basketball fans. Like Peja was a little maybe better in like the late 90s, early 2000s, and then kind of turned into more of like a role player three-point shooter. But right as in our formative years of basketball watching, Gilbert Arenas was tearing it up on the Wizards in those gold jerseys that Will Riley
Oh,
now wears.
Johnny, do you know? Do you have anything about that? Any
I
anything about that
do
gold
own
jersey?
I do own a Gilbert Arenas gold jersey. That
That
was a real favorite of mine that I might have worn to a few drinking
I was gonna
events throughout
say,
the day.
I close my eyes and I see you, Johnny, just playing beer pong in a Natty Light stained,
Yeah, I was gonna say a little spilled
small.
beer on
Too
the.
small, it's like shrunk in the wash, like it's like the old school material, you know, it's like that old school like
Yeah, like
plastic.
Reebok.
Oh man, good times. Yeah, I don't remember the Sacramento Kings Peja, you know, 98 was when he got there through 06, like that was probably a little bit before at least my NBA fandom really started. I would say like, yeah, 06 was probably when I started, you know, 13, 14 years old was probably when I started getting into the NBA. So a real we're old moment to see a younger Arenas out there on the court for USC.
Yeah, it was it feels all, 'cause like I remember him and D Brown were teammates on that Wizards team, which just,
That is crazy.
yeah, like imagine if D Brown had a kid on this team. But
Could you imagine
yeah, oh my
if he'd
God,
that kid would have to go to Illinois?
that kid would have to go to Illinois. Yeah, I think our
Although
brains would be broken. It is.
we faced a Gill kid this year, you know,
We did,
they
yeah.
don't have to go to Illinois, I suppose. It's nice if
Yeah.
they go to Illinois.
It is nice because then occasionally you get the Damonte Williams, son of Frank Williams.
There we
So,
go. Yeah, Mark Smith knew that.
yeah, exactly.
That's a throwback video right there. If you know, you know.
Yes.
Yes. So there we go. It's officially final. Absolute dismantling, 101 to 65. That is a 10x 6x right there. A 10x 6x in Big Ten play. We're gonna need our stats guy on that. I don't know. They showed some sort of stat about margin of victory right there in Big Ten play. I mean, I know we smashed it the other day against Northwestern. I mean, this is just, I mean, yeah. Again,
Yeah, your
take your
leading
adjective.
scorer took seven shots. Insane.
Efficiency.
122 on seven shots. Just the most balanced offense you'll see, with just everyone working. The guys who didn't play the best offensively were probably like Keaton and Kylan. And yeah, quiet night for Keaton, 3 for 8, 10 points. But like, you could just see the USC defense keying in on him so much. And that was a cool story that they told on the broadcast, that he had scored 30 in high school and Brad went and watched him. And he only scored 2 points the game Brad saw him play. But it was because the defenses were just so physical with him and basically double teaming him. And he made the right play every time. And Brad said, "I walked away like we got the right guy. And I'm so pumped about him."
Well, they offered
So.
him. He Brad obviously the story is they never saw him before, or Brad
Yeah.
never saw him, Tyler saw him, right, and was like, "You need to offer this kid now." So just yeah, again, Keaton can have an off night, and it's fine. Again, you're back to your huge full 8-man rotation here, with Andre getting fully healthy here. Well, that was showing the dunk again. That was so
Yeah.
sick. Yeah, they're showing the dunk.
The Kylan dunk was
They're
so
showing the
cool.
Kylan dunk and the Andre dunk. They're showing highlights here now. Like, damn, that is just good to have a healthy Andre Stojakovic back. Again, good to have a healthy Kylan. Good to have a healthy everyone. Let's stay healthy now the rest of the year. You've got your full 8-man rotation. Now you go, right? We've got a few more. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it exactly that. Like, you got 29 minutes of Keaton tonight instead of needing to play him 39 minutes, right? And just a little bit more energy in the 18 minutes of Andre Stojakovic, as opposed to when we were down to six guys or seven guys and you had to play all these guys 30 plus minutes. Like, I think you really do see their legs
Oh, yeah.
have an impact. And hopefully down the stretch that just helps you. And you're not like tired in these overtime games like you
Yeah.
were in Michigan State and Wisconsin.
It was very apparent that there were some tired legs. And again, it's no disrespect to Jake or Ben, but Kylan does some freakish things at the guard
Yeah.
position that Ben and Jake and probably very few guards in America do. Again, he is a that is an adult man body playing college basketball. And I know that there's a lot of adult men playing college basketball in this day and age. Speaking of Chad Baker-Mazzara, who I know didn't play, but is the same age, right? Am I making this up as, you know this, Johnny? Or same recruiting class
Io.
as? No, as wait, who is in the same recruiting class as Zion that we were talking about the other day?
Ooh, I don't know.
Because Chad Baker-Mazzara is 26, and Zion is 25. So just
Yeah.
for record, Zion is younger than Chad
Yeah,
Baker-Mazzara
so is Io DeSumo.
and Io. So
Yeah.
just something. Again, I understand. I'm saying this as the fan of Illinois, who's got, young men in their 20s who've been playing, professional basketball overseas for several years. But that's, yeah, neither here nor there. All right. So we take a look at the Big Ten standings now. You are 13-3, I guess a game and a half back technically now from Michigan. A huge one big barrier stands in the way between you and Michigan next Saturday night in Champaign, and that is an angry Mick Cronin. Yeah, that is a
He's always finding ways to get angry.
he's
Most
always
recently,
finding ways.
someone just asked him what he thought of the Michigan State student section, and he was like, "Did you raise your voice?" And,
That's
oh my God.
ridiculous, man. Dude, you just it's entertaining, and I think a lot of people on the internet have been like, almost in jest being like, this is great for college basketball, and it kind of is because it's kind of funny, but also like, man, screw this guy. Who if you are a recruit, and I understand that with NIL, like it's LA, and if someone's offering you a lot of money, you go there, who cares? But like, do you want, if you're like 17, 18, even transfer 19, John, you want to play for Mick? You want to play for that guy that throws his guys under the bus, that talks like this in every post-game press conference? And I get it, he's a competitor. Respect that. Love that. But I would feel like at this point he's been doing it long enough that he should be able to kind of, I don't know, do a post-game press conference without losing his marbles.
Yeah. If I were a recruit, that would not be the first guy that I would want to play for. I might want to play for a guy who's maybe developed two one and done's, about to be a third one and done, who's won 20 games every single year since 2020. That's maybe a guy that I would want to play for.
I can't quite tell who you're thinking of. I've got a couple guesses. Is it Jerome Tang?
Oh yeah, how'd you know?
I mean, we really got to enjoy, Johnny, our last year of Brad Underwood here in Champaign. It's, going to be tough. We want to go out with a bang here.
Yeah, we're gonna miss him, even though his contract specifically states that he cannot go to any other college, but really gonna miss him.
A guy that is willing to sign that, right? Let's talk about this. I don't know if there's any financial incentive for him to sign that. Is there any incentive for Brad Underwood to sign that aside from, I want to show my commitment to the University of Illinois? Like, it seems very uncoach friendly and it seems very program friendly. Like, I certainly don't major in contract law here, but what is the benefit other than a desire to show your commitment to your institution and saying, I'm not leaving?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously that's the desire and commitment is there. I think there probably maybe there was like a, hey, if you put in this amount, basically like if you put this clause in, then I will expect another $500,000 in my base salary or something like that. Like that's kind of like a negotiation tactic for Illinois. Like for me personally, right, I would rather pay Brad Underwood $5 million with a clause that says he cannot leave anywhere versus paying him four and a half with basically like a traditional buyout, right? There's a
Sure.
lot of like additional security in place for Illinois because he provides so much value to the university that even like monetary might not fully be able to capture it. So I'm guessing that was part of it was we'll give you a higher base salary for that commitment, right? Like players sometimes ask for a no trade clause or they'll waive that in lieu of salary. And it seems like that was probably the case. But clearly to Brad, it's I feel so strong about Illinois that I'm willing to waive what is very standard and like an easy way for coaches to get raises on the standard market because they can basically threaten, oh, I'll go somewhere else, or they will just go somewhere else, including, you know, who did that? Brad Underwood when he was a coach at Oklahoma State for a year because the athletic directors lowballed him and didn't value him, right?
Very different. Yeah, obviously, as we also can take a moment to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of Josh Whitman, in which Brad Underwood is not here for Josh Whitman and Brett Bielema and everything and everything and everything. You know, that is what a good PT does right there. So I feel like we almost have to zoom out. I almost forgot to wish Josh a happy 10-year anniversary. None of this is happening if not for Josh Whitman. That is how you treat coaches that you want around. And I know my fan we've documented my fan fiction here, but I truly do believe that like Brad doesn't want to leave. Like I truly do believe that Brett doesn't want to leave. Brad's 62. Brett is, you know, 56. Like these guys that are getting a little bit older, like I really do want to believe that they want to cement their legacy here, that they can have statues here, you know, if they want to have statues here. That sure, in a couple of years, another program might call Brett Bielema. You know, maybe an SEC program calls Brett Bielema. Maybe another program calls Brad Underwood. Certainly not, he's not going to go to Kansas State. But these guys can truly be, you know, have the frickin' court named after them or have a something named after them. Like, and that's thanks to Josh Whitman.
Yeah, Josh is amazing. And Brad did say in his first press conference at Illinois that when he had the Stephen F. Austin job, right? His secretary asked him to write down what his dream job was, and he said the University of Illinois. And obviously that's a very convenient story, but I'd like to think that it's true.
Hey, we're running.
And
We run with it. We run with it.
yeah, but I don't know. I think like he understands that he has the resources to win at Illinois. And when you've been at a place for as long as Brad has, which is now 9 years, obviously Josh has been here 10, but I think there's a part of him that's just true pride and true focus on the goal, which to him is winning a national championship. And I think not only does he want to win a national championship, but he wants to win it here. Like I think that matters to Brad Underwood to say, hey, I'm the guy who brought a championship to Illinois, and like I think he's embodied, like wanting to deliver it specifically to this institution, and wanting to be like oh, this, like his identity is Illinois. He wears
Oh, yeah.
Illinois gear every single year, right, or every single day, right? He in his practices, right, when he's like really getting into the team, or that famous video of him saying like Illinois, illa bleepin' noi, right? He know like it matters to him.
What? Look, you like to talk about it, Johnny. He spent a decade in Macomb. He spent a few years, you know, at Dodge City Community College and in Daytona Beach Community College. Like, he grinded, right? Do you really want to leave? And I know all this is beyond conjecture. Brad Underwood is not leaving. You can cancel our Balkan trip, you know, if he leaves. You know, that's how confident I am. You can, you know, take every penny I own if he leaves. The guy has built something here, and I think we underestimate how hard it is if you just leave and to rebuild something. You're not going to go to a Kansas State where you're going to have to rebuild. You're not, and I understand that that's his like, you know, alumni. I understand there's merit or there's value going there, even if it's a quote unquote lesser program. I don't think he wants to go anywhere else. I don't know what quote unquote better program that could be available. What's he going to go to Kentucky next year? You want to take that over next year if Mark Pope gets fired? I don't know where he's going to go that isn't built in the way that Illinois is built. Illinois is a fucking machine right now, and people really need to understand that. This thing is humming. I understand from the outsider perspective, the hater comment is, but the tournament success, as we talk about all the time, isn't there. But everything else is. Big Ten regular season championships, 20-win seasons, conference tournament championships, one and dones, recruits, all that has been accomplished in Brad's 9 years here so far.
Yeah, and it just feels like the tournament stuff is coming. It feels inevitable almost.
Yeah.
And I guess that's easy to say after a 36-point road win when we're just drinking the Kool-Aid. But take a look at Eric Musselman, right? Like, you
Yeah.
swap programs. He went from Arkansas, where he went to like three Elite Eights, and goes to USC, and it's still not like fully clicking there.
It's not
It's
always
hard to just
greener.
pick it up. Yeah, it's not always greener. And meanwhile, Brad just keeping his head down, continue to churn out 21 seasons, and eventually that tournament success is going to come. And as we saw tonight, if these guys can stay healthy, this is going to be a really difficult team to beat, right? This is going to be a really difficult team to beat. And you know what's funny, Maddie, too? I was listening to or seeing some tweets about Keaton Wagler's draft stock, and now people are starting to say, well, Keaton, compared to the other top NBA draft picks, he's got a really good ecosystem around him. Like, most teams don't have 1 through 5 bigs that can shoot and space the floor. So Keaton's really working with a ton of space. And it's funny to hear, like, essentially NBA draft people being like, yeah, Illinois is so stacked that maybe Keaton looks a little bit better than he
Oh
is.
my gosh,
Like,
that's
they're
awesome.
just like, yeah, well, when you have the Ivicic brothers and David and Ben and Jake, like, the floor is going to be spaced out well. And basically, everyone's just saying this is basically already an NBA offense. Keaton's playing
It's funny, I want to like almost be offended. I'm like, screw you, Keaton is really good. But then I'm also
it.
like, oh, you're right. No, our
Yeah.
offense, we do have exactly just that. We do have, a 5-out offense in which everyone can spread the floor, and we're taller than the average. We're taller than the Chicago Bulls, and we're an absolute machine, and we run an NBA offense. So I'm like, oh, also thank you for that compliment. But also like, screw you. No, Keaton is that guy at the same time. So it's kind of like a funny way to kind of take that compliment. Is it's but it but it's probably true. Like, can both be true? Is he benefiting from an incredible system? Like, I'll use like an extreme exaggeration, like a Ohio State or like Bama quarterback. Like, obviously they are like inflated because they're throwing to like Jackson Smith and Jigba or Marvin Harrison Jr. It's like we're probably not quite at that extent there, but like the Justin Fields. Oh, he wasn't that good, but like the quarterback is still good, right? But obviously, maybe you get like a little inflated, like. That raises your game a little bit when you're throwing to guys like JSN or when you're lobbing the ball to Zvonimir
Yeah, exactly. So it's great that we just have so many weapons like an Ohio State team did.
Ivicic.
It's weird to compare ourselves to Ohio State football, but then again, Keaton Wagler is like a quarterback out there, and Kylan Boswell is like a linebacker out there.
True,
So
true. He really is.
that is, it's insane to watch.
I compared us to Bama football last week when we lost a game. Now I'm
Oh,
comparing us to
true.
Ohio State football. So, I'm just kind of working through the SEC powerhouse or SEC and Big Ten powerhouse football programs here.
I mean, I think last thing for us to talk about is just kind of the Big Ten race, right? It seems like it's really down to just us and Michigan, and we still need a little bit of help because even if we win out, Michigan still needs to lose one game, and they looked like a wagon against Purdue. That was kind of a throttle in Mackey, and they beat UCLA by 30 the game before. So there's no guarantee we're going to get help from anyone, but at the very least, that game in Champaign is going to be crazy.
That is crush. Just please, okay? Obviously, got to do Saturday. You look at Michigan's schedule, and again, we're playing the hits here. We're assuming, obviously, there's big assumptions in Illinois winning out, beating Michigan, and whatnot. It's like, where does that loss come from? It's interesting to have that Duke game. That'll be really fun to watch on Saturday night. Maybe they like lose by a bunch to Duke and they falter for a couple games and it kind of turns their wheels over like it did to Illinois. They have the midweek against Minnesota before us, and then they go at Iowa, which whatever,
Hey, Iowa just
at
beat
Iowa,
Nebraska.
and then versus Michigan State. So Michigan State's obviously good, but it's at home on that last Sunday of the year. So yeah, the score made it look a lot closer than it was against Purdue. Obviously, they dismantled them. Purdue came back a little bit towards the end there, but yeah, I mean they just look like an absolute wagon. That should be the game of a lifetime on Saturday night, assuming Illinois can take care of business here, but.
Back to back revenge games. First, we've got Sky Clark, then we've got Merez Johnson. It'll be fun to see some old faces and hopefully take them down. I think UCLA to me feels like a very, I kind of want to call it a must-win game
For
just
sure.
because all you have left as far as like really difficult opponents on the schedule after that is Michigan, right? So like if you go 3-1 the rest of the way, you're 16-4 in the Big Ten, and that basically locks up a 2-3 seed.
100%.
So
Absolutely.
16-4, I would be really happy with. So ideally, you win the UCLA game, and then the Michigan game is gravy. You're almost playing for like potentially a one seed if things were to really like break your way. Obviously, you need other things to happen, but 16, if you can just beat UCLA, that really feels like the 50-50 toss up that you need to then either go 16-4 or 17-3, which would just be remarkable.
We talked about that on the Northwestern podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I know we've fallen a little bit. I know we were talking, I don't know if we were saying like 18-2, but I think we were saying like 17-3, and now we're still looking at that 3-4 loss range for sure. But yeah, you beat UCLA. You've essentially wrapped up a I guess a triple bye in the Big Ten tournament. It's still weird to say that. And probably essentially a top two seed. So it's not a must win in that fashion, but it's a really, really just win and you're in a great spot. Even if you lose to Michigan, maybe you're not going to win the Big Ten, but you're in a really good spot moving forward in the postseason here. So, as I've said all year, everything you want is still ahead of you. I so agree with you, Johnny. And maybe I'm just saying it because I want it to be true more than anything, but it feels like that tournament success it's just like it's time. Like you've got the team, like you've got the depth, like you've got the dogs, right? Like you've got just the system here. It's like you'll hopefully have the seed. You will hopefully have the geography to your advantage as well. It's just gotta be. It just has to. I feel like this is like a very Robert thing where it's like it just has to. It just has to work this year. It's just gotta. Just 'cause.
It just needs to just stay healthy. That's
Yeah.
really the biggest bit wish list for the next four games and the next Big Ten tournament. Just stay healthy because this team can do it. This team can do it.
If you, I'm not going to say win the Big Ten, but let's just say you hold on to like second place, you're like a bona fide two seed. I'm going to say it right now. Don't care about winning the Big Ten tournament. Win like your win like your
Oh my
win
God,
win your win your like Thursday game, Friday game. Obviously, that Saturday, St. Patty's Day, it's our friend's 30th birthday. Would
yeah, we
love to
do
win
kind
on
of
would love to
want
win on that Saturday. And if you're going to play on Sunday anyways, but no, I will stop there. Get to a Saturday game. Win a Thursday game, win a Friday game, get to a Saturday game. You don't have to win the Big Ten tournament. You're totally fine. The seeds are essentially locked by Saturday night, anyways, as we all know, which is the biggest bogus that we'll talk about every year. You don't have to win the Big Ten tournament. Just get healthy, get yourself a top two seed. I'm not even gonna say you have to win the Big Ten. That would be nice, but just get in as like a top two seed in the tournament, triple bye in the Big Ten tournament, and I think most Illini fans would be okay with that.
If we're playing on Sunday, I want to see like Brandon Mihailo and Blake running the three-man weave. Okay, like
Absolutely, absolutely. Unless it's against Michigan.
yeah, true. But yeah, all we want to do is just be healthy and well rested going into the tournament. And I know we say that now because then it's going to be Saturday and it's going to be like
We're
a
gonna be in
2-point game and we're going to be
eight beers in, like please, yes. But our sober February 19th thoughts are, just get to, top two seed, get to like a Saturday in the Big Ten tournament. And I think that's enough for us this year. Not that we're not uber competitive and want Illinois to win every game, but I think this year, like the goal is a lot bigger, right? A couple of years ago when Michigan, robbed us of the regular season, the Big Ten, that tournament meant a lot,
it mattered,
right? We've done the Big Ten regular season. We've done the Big Ten tournament. Let's do the big daddy. Let's do the big dance now.
Yes, exactly. Maddie, one thing that I wanted your reaction to was Eric Haslam, who runs this efficiency site like Haslametrics. He said Illinois is taking the USC to the woodshed tonight. This game goes analytically final at the 12:39 mark with Illini leading 73-40.
Analytically final.
Yeah, so that means basically like
Oh, they don't have to score
now they
again.
consider this garbage time. So now it's just they don't even like factor in what happens the next 12 minutes because
Oh my God.
it's irrelevant. So basically they played 27 and a half minutes of relevant basketball according to certain analytics.
That's incredible.
Yes.
Obviously, there's some subjectivity to that metric. But yeah, I mean, the game was essentially, I mean, the game was over by halftime.
Yes.
Not from
But
an, yeah, the.
us talking about the Sunday of the Big Ten tournament reminded me of that because the bracket makers consider Illinois' regular season analytically final on the Saturday. They don't even care about the result of the Sunday game, right? Like to
So.
them, they're like, well, whatever. Unless you're playing for an automatic bid and you're not going to make the tournament, they don't really consider that to be a relevant game, despite a game in November being extremely important.
Tell Brad well, it's analytically final when Andre on a bum ankle is
Oh, God.
driving to the hoop up 35 with 4 minutes left. Tell Brad it's
Brad, it's
analytically
been analytically final for 8 minutes of game time.
tell Brad that it's analytically final. That's good stuff, Johnny. I obviously want the full boys, all four boys on the episode, but it's fun when we get to when we do the tag team, that means it's a blowout. So good stuff. Thank you, Josh Whitman, seriously, for changing our lives last 10 years. I'm gonna do one thing before bed. I think I'm gonna watch that introductory press conference if we're not careful, you know.
Oh.
And yeah, he was right. And no one on this planet has had a bigger impact in getting the program, basketball, football, women's basketball. I mean, all the projects, DeBarrington Field, the new football scoreboard. I mean, to list them off. I mean, increasing donors, increasing season tickets, increasing everything. So, Josh, here's to another incredible 10 years. Here's to just another awesome 10 years. Anything else about
Which
Josh Whitman, Johnny?
I mean, he's incredible. I could do a full hour on Josh Whitman. He's the man, but I think maybe we should end it with what Brad said, right? And let me get the exact quote. But basically they did a full video saying, "Hey, Josh, thank you from all the coaches." And Brad Underwood ends the video by saying, "You're not allowed to leave." Right?
That
And
is
it's
true.
just, it's so true. Like another 10 years would be amazing because Josh Whitman has just set us up for so much success. And we're so indebted to him.
No doubt. Thanks, Josh. Thanks, Brad. Ooh, thanks, Andre. They showed that dunk again. That was nasty. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Boardroom. We'll catch you on the next one. ILL.